Emily Beeman. Welcome to session Thinking Differently. We have Emma Mulqueenie and Paul Clark and Sharon O'Day. Speakers, you can sit where you like. Timer will be here and it will be on the whole time so you know how much time you've got left. Questions are up to you. And Emma, off we go.
Thank you. Hopefully I won't actually do 20 minutes anyway, but I wrote a couple of blog posts, one last year and one this year, and they were about things that I had experienced as a kind of a person kind of going through the entrepreneurial experience, I guess, and having to do lots of talking, lots of networking, because everything that I do is in this open data space and kids and coding and the things that everybody at the moment is talking about. So my life was extremely busy. So I... one evening in October last year, I was tearing around and I had to go to a wired do, which was all very exciting, all very glamorous. And it started at 7, and I expected to be there till about 9, 10 o'clock at night, and I'd made arrangements for my kids and done all of that, and I was absolutely exhausted. And turned up at this event and chatted to everybody and felt very glamorous and had lots of very good conversations. But I was so tired, I just couldn't pull anything out of me anyway to actually be inspiring or even actually have anything really decent to say. So I left, and I was trying to go home, and I thought maybe I should go and see some people. I'm not quite sure what I should do with my kind of very flatlining self. And so I got back to Waterloo, and I thought, well, I've got an hour. I haven't got anything to do. I've got no one to see, so I'm just going to go and sit for an hour. And I went up to Carluccio's, and I sat there and had dinner, a lovely glass of wine, had pudding, and I sat there for an hour, and I just texted a few people that I hadn't talked to for a while, and I just kind of caught up with myself, really. And being me, I was thinking, you know, this is so good, this is so valuable, and it's almost like going off on a two-week holiday, and I wanted to share this. And so whilst I was kind of sitting there for my hour of delicious food, I thought, how do I share this? So I thought, first of all, we need a website. I thought, no, we don't need a website. And I thought, well, we need money. I need to be able to tell everybody about this wonderful thing called silence. And then I thought, actually, no, I don't need money. What do we need money for? And then I thought, we need a plan. I need to sit here and make a plan for how to share this. And obviously, and then I thought, we don't need any of those things, but everybody needs a reason, because I expect all of you that are here spending your Saturday at Open Tech are here because you believe passionately in something, and that means that you spend a lot of your time talking about and thinking about and sharing everything that you know and you believe in. And so giving time to yourself, you need to have a reason and an excuse to do that. So I came up with this little cunning plan, which is very, very simple. And hello, John. And I'll talk through this cunning plan in a minute. But what I'd like you to do first, just so that you know what I'm talking about, is let's just have a little bit of silence now. Not where you're going. You're not going to be meditating. This isn't about your inner, outer breath. This isn't, I don't want any downward facing dogs, nothing like that. But I think just have some time now, 30 seconds, and just begin to think about yourself, what you would really like to do if you had your hour. And you don't even have to look down, you can look at everybody else. You're not allowed to talk. It's good, isn't it? I love it. So what I thought was, in order to give people like me an excuse to take back my head, what I thought I would do would be to obviously write a blog post about it, but also to invite people to do this, and then to, whilst they're doing it, whilst they're spending their hour, to write about it. So the idea is that you accidentally or on purpose find an hour. You go somewhere busy. It's very important to be somewhere busy, because we're busy people, and if you do it on your own, you just don't get that same sense of actually achieving something and doing something in your kind of work day. It's an odd reason, but it works. So you spend that hour, go and sit and have a meal, or go and do something that you really enjoy. Spend that time on yourself. Again, this is not a meditation. It's not something that you're doing for holy or any of those reasons. This is just giving yourself some time so that you can think about what it is you want to do next, or take some time to write to some people, or do whatever it is that you want to do. But it's just that very important hour. And then what you do at the end of it, or during it, is you just write a postcard and you send it to this, which is a post office address. So you send it here, and then these all get sent to me. So sometimes people send things that are just things that they, a phrase or a sentence that they came up with, or huge screeds of my innermost thoughts. Most people send these things to me and say, shred them. I don't want them to go anywhere. Some people say, I want these to go up on the Tumblr page. So we have a Tumblr page, and some people just want us to do that. The only reason that I think it's a good idea to have something like this is because it gives you a very good excuse to stop, spend that hour, write whatever it is that you want to write, and then get on with your life. And the thing about writing it down, getting a stamp, posting it, and finishing it means that you have started and completed an action within, you know, less than a couple of hours. And in most of your busy lives, I would imagine that you are forever chasing ridiculous deadlines, or you've never finished doing what you need to do. So you get that hour, plus you get that feeling of completion of doing something. And so that's the Silent Club, and that's kind of, as far as it is right now, that's all it is. So if any of you want to be a part of the Silent Club, you can be. Everybody can be. So that's, there's a blog post on my blog about it, but that's the address if anybody wants it. So, weirdly. This year, I wrote another blog post, and this one was actually about thunderclaps. So, let me just go on to my thunderclaps. So, I go to lots of places and do lots of things and see lots of people and have lots of conversations. And what normally happens is I get to the end and I'm talking to all of these people, and when I have a conversation with someone that lasts longer than, hi, how are you, what do you do? Generally, it's around something that I really believe in. And I really believe in I'm really double. There are three things that I basically talk about. There's hack days, modding days, rewind state, young rewind state, always, always those. And kids and coding, I will always talk about that as well, ad infinitum. And then women in technology, just because I think we need more. So those are the three things that I talk about. So I end up talking to people usually about one of these three things. And by the time I get to the end of that conversation with those people, I normally get a business card. I always forget mine, so I ended up with a foot of business cards. All of these people I had had a conversation with, these people I'd had a conversation with, I might not remember them, but I know that they believe in the things that I really believe in as well. So I thought, when I was clearing my house out yet again, because I'm a massive hoarder, I thought, what do I do with all of these business cards? I've got so many people, and some of these people are top, and some of these people are just really super passionate. And it's just pointless me having this foot of business cards. So I thought about this in relation to the blog post. You can tell the way that I think things out. And so I decided that I'd put all of them into a nice little spreadsheet so that I could contact all of them. And then I would wait. And I would wait until there was one thing in each year that I really wanted all of those people from wherever they were in the world, from whatever position they held in their organisation, to either do, say, or champion. And so from the silent and all of my silent club thinking, I managed to think about how I could utilise that foot of business cards and how good they are to me. And since I wrote that, I've come up with a bajillion different things that I would like to tell everybody. But I feel a sense of responsibility because I know I've only got one message that I can get out this year to all of them. And so I don't know what that message is yet. It's getting there. I'm very close. But they know that when I do send that message out to what I call the Thunderclap Club, that when that comes out for me, it's going to be just something very short, it's going to be something very sweet, and it's going to be something that they can then either repeat action or do that will, they won't have to do anything else for the rest of the year. But the power of having this group of people that the only connection that they have with me is a conversation usually and some common belief of one of those three things. And therefore, I'm only asking them to do one very simple thing. And all of us have all of these connections, and all of us will have a similar pile of business cards, and you won't have any value for them. And so taking advantage of the networks that you have in your pocket that you've made through events such as this is something that I think is hugely valuable, and the way that people share nowadays, it kind of fits with that. So that's me on silence and... Oh, there's some business cards. Silence and thunderclaps. And you'll get me at HubMum, really, more than anything else, but if you want to contact me on Twitter, you can. So we've got loads of time, if anybody's got any questions, but because we've got loads of time, I will say, if you know any kids aged 18 and under who are interested in programming or are stuck to their computer screens and would enjoy a week in the summer, completely free, we've got the Festival of Code on at Yonge Wide State, and so point them at it and get them to come along and can have a week of programming for free and then a weekend at Birmingham with lots of ice cream and pizza. So do. Tell everybody you know if you're trying to find those individual kits. Sure.
I'll second that. Having been to a couple of Yonge Wide State presentations, it's an amazing opportunity for them. Really cool to see them dig in and get engaged. I'd like to start with a question. The business card thing has been on my mind too. As a contractor, I change jobs or focus or sort of where my head is every couple of years. And so I'm getting ready to do that now, and I've been going through all these business cards and having the same kind of dilemma. How I hadn't gone as far as you had, but thinking of building the list and being able to have a Thunderclap Club, how are you sorting through what's worth telling them and what's not worth telling them, or how are you approaching that?
I think it's weird because it's that sense of responsibility that I think you learn when you talk in kind of social spaces. If you're on Twitter, if you're on Facebook, you kind of learn over the years the kind of stuff that you can ask of people or broadcast to people that they'll listen to. So I think the answer is that kind of learned behaviour from social media helps. But then if you're looking at, like, for example, if you're kind of looking for a new job, finding something that is the common thing to you, so the thing that you're passionate about, that you will have spoken to these people about, ad nauseam, probably. I don't know why I do. Very dull. But and then think about that thing that they will know you for. So open data, for example, link data. And then find something around that you would really like to activate them all, that they'd kind of go, yeah, I can do that. Whether it's, you know, could you all tweet, you know, it could be just asking them to tweet something, or it could be ask them to write something, or it could ask them to, you know, go and talk to someone about something. But, you know, giving them a simple action just brings you back to their mind in a way that they have control over what they're going to do with what you've asked them to do. But then there's a connection between you and them that just kind of brings you back into their awareness again. So it can be anything. But I think the social media learning helps you go through it. But, you know, I haven't done mine yet. So I don't know. I'm still kind of going through it.
Well, do keep it posted.
Shall.
Other questions? I don't want to dominate things here.
Yes.
Dan, would you like the microphone?
Or I can just...
Bellow. All right.
Well, means
I can hear you.
I've recently moved, so going through all of my stuff, I also found stashes of business cards, and not quite a foot tall pile of them, but I looked at them, and I was half tempted to just throw most of them away, though, the entire pile, based on the fact that I seem to get mine from two very different sources. People I chat to who I share passion and whatever with, similar to what you were saying. The other half generally tend to be random people who I've met at some point that have wanted to hire me or something. Yeah. So the message, it seems to me there's not many messages I can send up to that whole list that would work. How did you go around working out?
Well, I had the same thought, you know, because there were people in there that I thought, do I really want to open that conversation back up again? But thinking about it further, I thought, I can't second guess everybody else's passions. So yes, there are kind of a mixture of people in here that I know share mine, and even if I can't remember them, I'll remember that there was a conversation. And then there are other people that are recruiters or whatever. But if the thing that you're asking them is something that you are personally passionate about, and you're saying, so this is the reason why I'm doing this, people understand that, you know, if you can put into words what it is that you're asking them to do and why, because it is your passion, then you don't necessarily know that that recruiter that was after you because he wanted you to go and work somewhere and make millions doesn't actually personally really care about that particular thing that you... So, you know, I think include everybody. It was a very cathartic moment when I got everybody in the list. I checked all of the business cards had been, believe me. But include everybody, and then the people. I mean, I guess the people that don't want to hear from you will tell you they don't want to hear from you. I did email everybody and say I've included you in Thunderclap Club. This is what it is. You only hear from me once a year. Don't worry about it. And if you want to not be a part of this, then let me know. And no one did. So. I guess give people a chance to opt out, but include everybody in the first instance is what I say at the moment.
Anybody else?
I just want to mention that I got a message yesterday from an old friend who I worked with maybe 5 years ago, an email saying I have a new project on and there's a big thing, festival thing coming up. Could you please tweet about it? And now I'm wondering if she's doing something similar.
Could well be.
I'm on the other end.
Could well be. I mean, if you do want to join in the Thunderclap Club, if you kind of believe in the things that I believe in, then you can just email me and you can virtually send me a business card. But yeah, I'm done, I think.
Great.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Emma. Next up, we have Paul Clark.
Hi, this is Sam from Open Tech. Paul Clark's presentation should be here, but what he talked about was a lot of pictures, and he's made a YouTube video. So if you go to opentech.org.uk/2013, you'll find the video there, along with all the audio.
Thank you, Paul. I think we've got a couple of minutes for questions. I'd like to kick them off, if that's all right. You have, on most of the photos you have on Flickr, you have something that says something along the lines of, if you are here and you don't want to be, please let me know. Getting the community bit right is important.
This is really, really important. Do you remember the case at the tech conference in the States about 3 months ago with the two guys that you know the one? I can't remember who was.
Oh, yeah, Adrian Richards.
Right, and Adrian Richards. And one of the reasons that really kicked off wasn't... Well, it was the statements that the guys made. It was also this issue about photography without consent in community spaces. I do this for a living. I do it a lot. I know people who also do it and run into minefields all the time and cause trouble and don't get it right. This is a matter of judgment and sensitivity. There's no absolute rules on this. You know with experience when you walk into a room whether it's cool to do it or not, and that's it. It doesn't really matter what the actual rules say. You know whether it's cool or not. And some cases, the event organizer is highly motivated to get lots of pictures of their event out to the world, and they get me in to do that, and I do that, but I absolutely include this thing that if you don't want to be here for whatever reason, one word, it's gone, no question. And that, I've got 30,000 pictures online now on my Flickr stream in 4 years. I've had four takedowns like that, and they've been kind of friendly. So I'm using that to say I'm getting it about right. I might not be, I might be absolutely horrifying some of the people in those pictures, they just haven't told me yet. There are a couple of people who said, look, I just don't ever want you to take my picture. I know who they are. A couple of them are here today. And not in this room. And I don't do that. So, yeah, I'm really glad you spotted that, because we have to trade these things all the time, this idea of openness, identifiability, feature. You know, if I make you look like a hero and the picture goes up, is that different from making you look like an idiot? I think so. Some people, again, really like their idiocy and like to have it proclaimed. getting it right. But that seems to be the safe way of doing it. First, we do it in places where your judgment tells you it's cool, and always allow a back out, and don't ever argue. It's important.
Yes.
I do photography as a hobby, and try to do on street as much as possible. How do you handle people staring back at you as you're pointing your lens at them?
Okay. That's a great question. How do you handle getting busted? Somebody's just spotted that you're taking the picture of them. First thing is to smile. Straight away, whatever else you do is put the camera down, get the camera out of the line, smile. The second thing, if that doesn't start working, is you invent the imaginary friend. And this is a misdirection technique, which says, I've got an imaginary friend who's 100 yards down the street, and you sort of wave the person who stared at you out the way, because I really want to get you. Absolutely works a treat. And that goes for a lot of street photography. If you see a really interesting person coming towards you, you focus like hell on the building that's about 17 degrees off the line, just a bit up there. You set every damn thing up at the last minute. Oh, it's going to pass. A lot of it is to do with smile. And I have never had any trouble, and I do this a lot. And I know other people that walk out there are a magnet for security guards and people attacking them wanting to look at their camera. It's attitude, a smile, bit of misdirection, and also just the sense that you're not actually exploiting. So I don't do homeless people out of the context, which would be really dignifying or interesting to them. You have your own framework. This is a longer talk, but thanks for that group question. Any more?
The photo of your mother. I would have really struggled to include that photo if that was me in your talk. Is that a photo you share online, or is it just within the
context? Okay, no, I did. I do share it online, and it's the feature photo of one of only two posts on my blog, which isn't my blog, which is just where stuff that wouldn't fit within my interests in identity and security and stuff fit. And it's the accompanying piece to a piece I published half an hour after she died. It was really important to write that in real time. I live a lot in real time, and this was published to that. So now I'm also testing myself a little bit to see what impact it has on me in front of people.
It's heart-wrenching.
I was asked to talk about what I think about when I take pictures, and is that absolutely that spectrum of emotions every day. You had something about
Do you write as much as you photograph?
Do I write as much as I photograph? I do. I try to. I have a blog on technology and public services, and occasionally there are issues like identifiability and identity which cross across both. And I know some of you know me in those worlds as well. I write a photo blog. I have a few pieces. I've written about the issue of photographing people on trains when they're asleep. It was called Sleepers on the Train, Twitter account, something like that. So I've written blog posts which, again, echo some of these issues. But I'm so damn bloody busy shooting, I virtually hardly ever get to blog now. It's a problem. But yeah, there is some stuff on my blog. I'm Paul Clark, and the site is paulclark.com. Clark has an E on the end. That's it, paulclark.com. You'll find everything there. You had something else?
Assuming you've got a guy who's just been given a very good camera later on in his life.
Yeah.
How did he get into starting taking pictures that are even a fraction as good as yours? What are the techniques?
Come and see me for 2 hours, because I do a 2-hour intro for all levels, and 2 hours takes you from the absolute beginning of where you think you know images to somewhere you're a long way past that. So do that, and I did the same thing when I started to think this. I might actually be half good at this. I went and found the photojournalist who took that incredible picture of the woman coming out of 7-7 with the bandages on her face, the burns mask on her face. You've all seen the picture. He's a photojournalist of the year 2005-6. I went to get some teaching. It helped me just to understand what was in my hands. Helped also with some of the things we've talked about today, about the other things you have to think about. So yeah, you can't do it alone. I don't think you can do it alone. That's about all my time. So I'm just going to finish bang on. Get around to Sharon. Thank you.
Please join me in thanking Sharon. Sharon's using a backpack.
Oops.
Points for being thorough. Next up, we have Sharon O'Day talking about 300 seconds. Now, I have to declare an interest here. I am a co-organizer, co-founder of 300 seconds. But I want you to know that that is not at all compromising my ability to chair, and she will get exactly the same number of minutes as everybody else.
Fortunately for everyone, I talk really, really fast. So if I am talking too fast, you need to come slow down to get there.
turned itself off.
Still heating up.
All right.
Or something.
I can kind of start without them and then
temper, hopefully.
Yeah, that's all right.
Yep.
Hopefully. It's doing something, I think.
It's gone green.
It's not really a topic because there isn't really a tech there, is it?
This one?
Sharon O'Day, which is also my Twitter handle, and I'm here to talk about 300 seconds. Fortunately, they've given me around about, I think it's five times that to talk about 300 seconds. Now, 300 seconds is a series of talks by and for the digital community. We aim really to bring more a more diverse set of voices into our industry debate. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about why we're doing that, why it's important, and finally, how you can help us. Right, so what's wrong with this picture? You'll see, I think there's 44 speakers listed on this tech conference that's coming up quite soon, and you'll note that not one of them is a woman. Now, I suppose it's possible that of all the people in the world who've got something worth saying about mobile app development, it's theoretically possible that absolutely none of them are women. Although, I guess I'm being a little unfair. So if you go on their website, on page 2, the 53rd speaker listed is a woman. And so maybe it is the case that there's one woman in the whole of Europe who has something worth saying about mobile app development. But I don't know about you, I find that quite hard to believe. Sadly, this is a sort of wearyingly typical picture that you get at tech conferences like this one. Although I have to say kudos to Open Tech for trying to do something about that. So this picture is, as I said, wearingly common, and as such, it's a subject of quite a lot of debate in blogs and at conferences like this one. Now, it kicked off again towards the end of last year when BrickRuby, which was due to take place in, I think, November last year, they had, again, it was all sort of summarised by this tweet here from Josh Sasser. Nice speaker line out, BrickRuby, apart from the 100% white guys bit. Now, this kicked off a whole big debate, and in the end, the conference ended up being cancelled, partly because speakers dropped out and partly because they felt they didn't want to be at the centre of such controversy. But nonetheless, people sort of blogged about it and tweeted about it, and we talked about it at all manner of conferences. People asked questions like, is diversity really an issue? And at a conference like that, is diversity really the problem, or is it just a reflection of the fact that it is a fairly male-dominated industry, particularly at the geekier end of the spectrum, like Ruby development. And why are we so bothered about diversity at conferences anyway? Now, that's a really good question, and diversity is a really, really complex issue, and it's got its roots in things like how science and technology education is very heavily gender stereotyped from quite an early age. And also there are things like the culture and hiring practices of some of our big technology firms, and that's before you even consider things like the attitude of people who organise conferences. But simply accepting that speaker panels are always going to be male-dominated is a little bit sad, I think. If we want young women to come to take up senior roles within tech industries, it would be great if they come along to conferences like this one and see people like them on the panel, because that will help them to think, hey, I can do that too. Diversity shouldn't really be a women's issue either. It's about ensuring that conferences reflect the people they're talking to. So the people who are speaking are a reflection of those who come. Inviting speakers from a wide range of backgrounds might bring a different perspective to the conversation, make it a bit more interesting for everyone. It's been known for quite a long time that diversity makes teams better and makes them more successful. So there's no reason that wouldn't be true for conferences as well. And that's important too because diversity helps us to make better products. In technology, we want to make our products better for the user. And therefore, it's better if the people who make them are a reflection of the people who use them too. And that's not just because I'm a sandal-wearing, Guardian-reading liberal. It's also because this is a knowledge economy that relies on digital skills to create the products and services that people need. We need skilled tech people, we need creative tech people, people who can focus on the needs of the user and find creative solutions. So I've had to see conference lineups that are a reflection of our industry and more to the point of our species. Because diversity makes tech better, and more to the point, it makes events like this more interesting.
But when we talk about why you see so few women at conferences, you often hear things like this. We'd love to have more people come, but we couldn't find it. We'd love to have more women come to this, but none of them submitted any proposals. So it could also be that, for some reason or other, that no one seems to be able to quite pinpoint, speaker panel, those who select speakers somehow biased against women, although no one seems to understand quite why that might be. Whatever the reasons, it's pretty clear that people who organise conferences could do quite a lot more to improve the gender balance of those speaking, and that's before we touch on issues like ethnicity and the visibility of disabled people too. Nonetheless, conferences are a really big business. I think in the UK it's over £1 billion a year made in organising conferences, and most conference organisers are not charities. So those who make real efforts to get more women along are really to be applauded for what they're doing. At the same time, they've got really sound commercial reasons for wanting to go with people who are, say, tried and tested, rather than unknown quantities who've never done something like this before. So that means, unfortunately, we hear from the same people, the same male people, usually over and over again. And while it's clear that conference organisers really need to play their part in improving the gender balance of events, that's not the only reason why you see so few women. You also hear things like this. The thought of standing up in front of 100 people absolutely terrifies me. I'd never do that. Often women say they lack confidence or they lack the experience and don't know how to submit a proposal to speak at an event. Or maybe they don't think their work will support them going or will pay for it. Or maybe they don't see people like them speaking and they don't want to be the only woman there. So, and those are all perfectly good reasons. So we've had this debate over and over again. When I say we, I mean me and Hadley and another friend of ours, Anne. And numerous other women I know over the years. So back at GovCamp in March, we held a session on digital women and talked about a lot of issues around this, why you don't see women at events like this, what is it that prevents women reaching senior levels within technology. And we thought, this is great, but we've had this debate over and over again. I think we've had this at GovCamp about 3 years in a row. Isn't it time we actually did something about it? Controversial. So we thought, what can we usefully do that would create opportunities for women to gain confidence and experience in speaking in public? Because the gap between standing in front of a room like this one and not doing it at all is actually quite big. So what are the steps that we can create to make that an achievable prospect and bridge that gap? We also wanted to find ways that people could establish a track record, point to things that they've done before and say, I'd like to speak at your event, and here's an example of something that I've done before. So that those organising events will feel confident inviting them along. So we hit upon an idea that does a little bit of things. And that is 300 seconds. Now, standing in front of a room of people for half an hour is quite a daunting prospect, but 5 minutes, 300 seconds, that's not so bad, is it? That's achievable. So we thought, why don't we get a handful of people along who've not done this before? Give them 5 minutes each, and we'll all learn something new. We booked a room above the pub, we put a call for speakers out there on Twitter, and we put some tickets on Eventbrite. And we were pretty overwhelmed. They all went in just over a day, or maybe 2 days. And we thought, oh, hell, we'd better go and find somewhere bigger. And asked around UK networks, and fortunately Facebook offered to let us use their event space. And suddenly 300 seconds was a thing, a big thing. And we had our event on Tuesday, our first event, and we had 12 people come along and speak about something they're passionate about or a project they're working on for 5 minutes each. And most of them were doing that in front of an audience for the very first time. We had people talking about all sorts of different aspects of technology. We had some talking about Drupal, user experience, hand dryers, and agile development, and all manner of other things besides. So with the chance to start practice speaking in public for the first time, and the ability to point to a track record of having done that before, we're really confident that some of our speakers will go on to do the same at other conferences, and maybe we'll come to Open Tech next year. At the start of the event, Hadley said, we want to hear from a world where we hear from the brilliance of the many and not the few. We want to move away from a situation where we hear from the same people over and over again, and bring a greater diversity of voices and experiences and stories into the debate and conversation that we have. But we don't want to be exclusionary. It isn't just about women. We had a mixed gender lineup. It was simply that we inverted the sort of proportions that you do usually find at events like this one. Incidentally, if you want to find out a bit more about the content of the talks, Martin Bellum has really handily put them all together into a lovely little ebook you can download from his website. Thoroughly recommend that. But why are we so focused on speaking anyway? Is it really that important? As I said before, it's about making sure that we have more voices heard within our conversation that we have as an industry, of course, group of industries, and making sure it's more interesting for everyone. But it's also about developing leadership skills. So being able to confidently articulate what it is that you do, what you're passionate about, being able to sell your ideas into others is a skill that we really, really value in our future leaders, and it's something that employers value deeply. If we want women to make up a reasonable proportion of the next generation of CEOs and CIOs and other senior roles within technology and digital, we need to, those women to start making a name for themselves and their work now. We need to start, speaking events help people to establish a profile in the industry. It helps them to make a name for themselves and articulate what they do. Building that skills of profile and confidence, putting themselves forward at events like this, helps us to develop our next generation of leaders in technology, in business, in politics, in any field, I suppose. Sheryl Sandberg, the CFO, I think she is, of Facebook, in her recent book, she said that organisations really, really need to do more to support women to become leaders, and that can be all sorts of practical things like around childcare and work-life balance and all these other things, and development, skills development, but also that women themselves need to step up, what she calls lean in, take opportunities where they arise, develop their skills, and put themselves forward. And we're hoping that with 300 seconds, we're giving people an opportunity to do that. We need to challenge some of those external barriers so that people feel confident coming forward. But we also need to give people the opportunity to step up and to lean in. And that's what we're aiming to do with 300 seconds in the future, creating those opportunities and making more voices heard, but within our industry. And you can help. The best way you can help is spreading the word. We want everyone to know about 300 seconds and what we're doing. We also need some more practical support around the project. So we're hoping to develop more resources for our website, guidance on how to produce a great presentation. Also, all manner of other things, really. But particularly, we'd like to hold more events. If we want to do that, we need spaces. If we need spaces, we either need to hire them, which costs money, or we need people who have offices or other spaces that we can use to hold future events. If you've got one of those, we'd love to hear from you. Anything else you can do to help, practically or otherwise, do let us know. One particular good way you could do that is through coaching a speaker. We'd like to link some of our speakers up, maybe some of those who spoke on Tuesday or those who'd like to do so in future, who'd like feedback on their presentations or would like to learn more about doing or coaching with submitting a paper for a conference or so on. If you can do that, it'd be great. And finally, any other ideas you might have on how we can improve diversity at tech events and conferences, then again, let us know either today or via our website or on Twitter or whatever. And all of our information is right here. So you can tweet us and get us on our website, and that's the hashtag of the event if you want to find out any more. I should have put it slightly further up, I just realised. Sorry. We're 300seconds.co.uk. If you want to find anything more about what we're doing, then do take a look there. And I now have 6 minutes for questions, because I talk really fast.